Blog Talk Radio. My. When I hear that song, I know you don't know who I am because I'm not even saying. I just quiver all over from this song, and I have to tell you, if you can see me dancing, you would know that. Hi, I'm Bonnie Albers on air.
Maybe we need to stop playing that song. I mean, it's like, by the time we get on air, it's like, oh, my God, the sweat's just rolling off my forehead.
Oh, my Lord, I love that guy, Bon Jovi. He knows us,
he's
dead or alive. That's what both of us walk in, Susan. We walk in the land of spirit, and we walk on the physical earth plane. You know where I'd rather be, and I know you're pulling me back, but both of us actually breach that gap, which I want to tell you, everybody who you're listening to, and then we have our first caller, and I know, Greta, you're right there, but just give us a few minutes because you are going to be on first, girlfriend. First of all, this is Bonnie Albers on air with my co-host in metaphysical, not crime, fun, Susan, famous Susan. Yes, we do have fun here, and I love being on with you, Susan. I love our guests, our chat room. I love all of our callers, and I am so happy when I'm on the air, especially when we start off with Dead or Alive, because you know me. You do the Akashic Records. You're the expert. I crawl on in underneath, or I just fly on top. But really what I do is spirit communication, because you send them all to me, because I love them. Anyway, I'm Bonnie Albers. I was waiting for that. But I'm Bonnie Albers. So before I go into all the initials, because both Susan and I could make a card a mile long, we both of us love what we do. We do and have had other positions that we always incorporate with our intuitive, psychic, mediumistic ability. I am a nurse. I'm a legal nurse consultant. I'm a counselor. I specialize in love, romance, relationship, and sexual issues, but my real love is spirit. I am a spirit medium, and spirit everywhere is what I say. You can reach me. Actually, if you like our show, please just like us on Blog Talk. I'm on Facebook at Bonnie Mosenter Albers. Friend me. Take a look at my Facebook because you'll get all the information and all our shows are logged there. And also I'm on Twitter and I also am on LinkedIn. So you can, and I have a Skype number. If you email me and you would like a reading or you know, with either counseling or metaphysical, you can reach me at balbers714@aol.com. Drop us a line anyway. We want to hear what you think. Give us some feedback of what you like and what you want to hear. Now I'm going to hand you over to my famous co-host and co-partner in metaphysical fun, Susan Z.
Oh, Bonnie, I'll tell you, I come counseling any day and bring all my dead relatives with me too.
I love
you. Have a great time.
I love them, girlfriend.
I know you do.
I do, honey.
Well,
I'm going to go ahead.
Okay. Let me go. Come on. Okay. I like to first of all say hello to all our listeners today and hope that you enjoy the show. I am Bonnie's cohort in metaphysical fun, and I'm Susan Z. Fun, yes. I'm third generation Akashic medium, which is that I can interpret your soul's journey, which you wrote for yourself. I have 18 years experience as a clairaudient, empathic, clairvoyant. I'm also a life coach, holistic therapist, an emotional addiction counselor, recovery hypnotherapist, Reiki master, and energetic seer. I'm also the author of the published book, Soul Windows, Secrets from the Divine, available on Amazon.com, which Bonnie swears she co-wrote with me. Next time I put it into print, I'm going to put your name in the foreword, too, so that we will go through this.
That's so nice of you, my sister.
Nice
a different mother and a different father.
Yes. I wrote the book to clearly show us how our higher self assists us in our life chapters through divine life coaching. You can read more about me from my website, szrwhitewings.com. That's S as in Susan, Z as in Zebra, R as in Rich, WHITEWINGS.com. And you can also contact me for Akashic readings by email, Skype, or phone at my email address, szrich@aol.com.
Well, honey, with that, we are going to have two heck of a business card. I told you we were going to need books to carry around with all those accolades.
Sure.
I have to tell you, though, you know what? Everybody says I call you sister, and I always say, oh, yeah, she's my sister from a different mother and another father. But, hey, we're sisters, right?
Yes. Yeah, we have different mothers and different fathers, but we're sisters. We are definitely so. We have come to the conclusion that there's, you know, we're family. There's just no getting away from it. It's like we are opposite at night and day, but somehow it clicks.
I love it, sister, and don't worry, I will never let you leave. So we're going to take, I thought about, I'll drag you back. But I thought about us talking about past lives and Akashic, you know, records again, because I do believe that a lot of people don't understand it, why it's so important.
But I don't
listen
on the clock here. And every time you start talking about the Akashic records, it always is. It's a one on the clock.
Well, honey, I think your clock is stuck there, but I love it. But what I am going to ask you to do is if we talk about that, I am going to bring Greta in, because Greta is your first, I'm not going to say victim, but I am going to say she's our first caller. And I love her. She was our reader yesterday.
Listeners.
I know. Hey, everyone. I really am harmless. I don't bite. Sometimes I do, but not today. But anyway, I am going to ask Greta to step in. And would you go over, you know, because I don't think Greta might have listened yesterday, because I know she came in to us around 2, about what the Akashic records are, why you open them, and what you need to open them. So I'm going to let Greta on, but will you go through that while she's on? Because I think a lot of the callers and listeners. Okay,
sure.
So I am going to Greta. Hi, Greta.
Hello, Bonnie. Hi, Sue. Susan.
Hi.
Looking forward to my reading. I'm getting excited.
Oh, too. We had such a wonderful show with you yesterday, and it was so informative, so much information. So,
and I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
What's
that?
You go for it, girl, because I know why Greta's here. See, I know Greta, and I could give her. But you go for it, because she wants her Akashic records open, girlfriend.
Before we get started with you, Greta, Bonnie and I talked about that maybe I could share with people about why we open the Akashic records and why people are so interested in the concept of the life script that they wrote for yourself. It's like before you incarnate, your soul, along with your soul family, decides what experience it is that you want. Somebody is breathing in their microphone like a stalker. Who is that, you, Bonnie?
I am.
Or is that Greta?
No. Well, listen, if Bon Jovi is here, I would say yes, but Bon Jovi is not here, so I'm not breathing, but I am muting Greta and see if it's Greta's microphone. Sometimes with the computers, that's what happens.
Okay, don't heavy breathing. Okay, so... not yet. Anyway, so your soul record, which is what they call the Akashic soul record, okay, is the life journey that you write for this incarnation. Now, your actual soul records go back many, many thousands of lifetimes. I mean, who knows how many lifetimes we've actually lived. But what you allow me to do is to see what you wrote for this lifetime, and also what the curious side effect of which when I first started doing this, it was like I've always been able to see past lives. They just kind of flip in front of me like a movie screen. But when I started being able to open the Akashic Records with the person that I was working with giving me the permission, and they opened it and I was able to read it, all of a sudden I was able to understand how past lives so totally affect the path that you write for yourself in this lifetime. It's like either dealing with karmic emotion or assisting family members or trying to set imbalances right, or sometimes we put our spiritual gifts on hold and to accomplish something on a lower vibrational level, and then all of a sudden we're set free again. So when those records are open, those past lives kind of come flooding in also. Not that I can see the pages, but the essence and the imprint on your on the soul itself holds all the emotional feelings of those past lives and what you're trying to accomplish in this life. And then for another side effect, for whatever reason, which I was surprised when Bonnie and I started doing this a couple months ago, and this was just an experiment that, I mean, remember, Bonnie, we just said, well, let's do the Akashic Records and, you know, and we'll have a show on that. And I mean, it just exploded. Yeah, it was just an idea. We talked about soul windows. We talked about this, and when we started that, when all of a sudden, when the records were open, all these spirits showed up. I mean, it was And of course, you know, Bonnie was just, I mean, having orgasmic heaven over there. You know,
yes,
of like, oh my God, God.
They're here. Get the coffee and the donuts. Let's go.
Yeah. And it basically shows it from our soul family of how we're all trying to assist one another as in this experience. People that have passed over, they are part of your soul record. They are part of the life experience that you wrote for yourself. And even if they are not on the physical plane anymore, when they become spirit, they can share a lot of information to let you know what your life journey was also about too. So it was kind of not only opening the journal, it was a twofold effect of kind of like extra appetizers and dessert of like past life experiences. And spirit communication kind of came along with that. So it was, it's like a work in progress. Every time we do it, we learn something new about how a person writes their soul journey, and what and the most important thing that,
Susan. I wrote my soul journey. You know, I was Cleopatra, and I wrote my soul journey to be a queen. We do not have any queens anymore, and I said I would be Lady Gaga, but I guess that didn't happen in this lifetime, so I wonder what payback I have. But I am learning, honey, so next time around, you're going to open those soul windows for me. Actually, my Akashic Records, and you're going to see a grand rock and roll singer coming out.
If it wasn't for the fact that I know you so well, I would recommend your own therapy. But the fact is that I know you have fragmented genetic coding of Cleopatra. I mean, it's imprinted on you. Now, whether you were actually Cleopatra, you know, maybe not.
Hey, girl,
I mean, you know, how many Cleopatras can we have?
Well, I was the only one.
You're not
going to
be able to respond to that. Yeah.
Well, go ahead. I'm so sorry, Greta. I'm hogging into your reading, but you know I do this every once in a while, and I apologize. But you know I just can't help myself because I can't be quiet that long. So go ahead, Susan.
Okay. Well, Greta, I did tap a little bit into your energy yesterday, but I kind of have. Like an idea of what it is that's going to come up, but we're going to go dig a little deeper. And of course, as I ask you these questions, you'll open the book for me, and as you answer the questions, it's more or less like you're giving me permission to say, yes, look at my book and tell me what it is that you see. So the first thing that I want to ask you is how old you are.
I'm 64 this year.
64?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you fit right in with everybody, Greta. Not me, but everybody. I'm still in the 15-year-old window, but that's okay.
She's still 15, so yes. If you've listened at all to the definitions of the soul windows, you are kind of like at the tail end of cry and return, which is that when the dreaming soul fully awakens, looks around, asks, you know, what am I set here to accomplish? Have I done that? Is there anything else I need to do? Do I need to clean house? Am I ready to awaken more? And that, you've got about maybe two more years of really intense kind of self-examination. And for you, just, it's like you were kind of a little bit of a late bloomer on this because I even though this is the largest window, it's almost like this really didn't come on you full force till maybe you were like 52, 53
yeah,
or
correct.
54.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, most people, you know, they'll start at 46, 47, 48, and they'll start rocking the boat. But with you, you have a underlying quality of peace. Okay, and it's like there wasn't any reason to start open this this big self-examination for you until you were ready to take on some really huge gifts, and it's almost like a kid that has a really high IQ, and they skip grades. You know, they instead of going to, they go from, grade 8 to college. And that's kind of why your soul window didn't open until later, because you had all the preliminary groundwork pretty well intact. You knew what you were going to deal with, and so you were ready for it. And one of the reasons why this our soul windows open in our late 40s is while we're still in the energy of youthful imprint, and when everything starts questioning and rocking and we're feeling kind of overwhelmed, we still have the imprint and the energy of youthfulness that we can do something about it. And this didn't seem necessary for you. So you like I said, you started a little later, at like 53, 54, 55, somewhere around there, where all of a sudden things started feeling different for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So next thing I want to ask you is a career. What is it that you do now or have done in the past?
I worked for 25 years as a preschool teacher. I've worked with in palliative care with very severely disabled teenagers. Basically, that's most of my lifetime I've done that type of work. Done some retail experience as well when I was younger. At the moment, I'm developing and working to spirit, so I've done full circle, basically.
What kind of a teacher were you?
A preschool teacher with 2 to 4 year olds, you know, just playing basically, and early education.
Early education. How young?
Yeah, 2 to 4, 2 to 4 year old preschool.
That's what I wanted to know. Okay. You would describe your gifts and your finest qualities as? Or the things that you like about yourself?
I'm loyal. I can be trustworthy. I'm passionate. I think they're the only things I can think of that are positives, really.
Mm-hmm. And your gifts?
Oh, my gifts. I've been empathic all my life, healer most of my life, although, like you say, I didn't really realize it until later on in life. It was just mm-hmm. normal for me. I didn't look on it as a gift. It was just something I thought was normal.
Okay.
I'm a medium, growing medium, I should say. My passion is healing. That's my my one passion is healing.
Okay, when you call yourself a medium, who is it that you connect to? I you're an angel card reader, so I'm not going to assume that, you know, that it's just angels that you connect with. Is there something another connection that you make?
Yes, I have several guides. One is a Native American Indian that's been with me since I awakened in my late teens. But shelved everything to get on with life and things. But he's back in the forerunner. I have a Roman Egyptian lady that helps me with the tarot cards. And, of course, the angel cards, I just open myself to the angelic energy and accept whoever comes in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is really interesting. It's like...
spit it out, girlfriend. Just
Well, you know, it's like I have to figure out what it is that I'm seeing first, so that I can. But if I can tell you exactly what it is that I'm seeing, but it's like I'd like to get an idea of what it is that I'm going to say about it that I'm seeing.
Okay.
There's when the book opened. Okay, the first thing that came out that I saw, okay, was this like a crystalline egg, okay? Now, like a sphere, okay? But it's more in the shape of an egg. I'm going to explain why it is that I saw that, because of what it represents versus of just an egg, okay? And then underneath there, it's there was all these like white clouds, okay?
Okay.
So now, you know, you see that and you go, oh, what the heck is that? So I have to kind of, I know you know, Bonnie, because you know everything.
Okay.
And I'm gonna let you explain what it is after I get done. Okay.
Thank you.
So
yeah. Okay.
You're welcome. Here's what the egg sphere represents. What I see, because they visualize them for me. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're representative for your energy, but they represent they put them in visual form, which I am very visual form, so that I understand the message that's being said, because very simply I cannot read what's written in the book. It is in a script and a language that is far beyond my skill. So basically what they do is that the powers that be, visualize a symbolic message for me. And what this egg represents here is that when I had the ability to look into someone's essence, their life essence, as I can see, you know, the book, and also when someone is ready to pass, okay, or when they're ill, you look like a big circuitry board to me. Right. But also that I had the ability to see the soul essence, which is the soul is like a little, is encased in, within this physical body, like a luminous egg, okay, that is like kind of tucked between your heart and your solar plexus, okay. But and that luminous egg has filaments all around it. It's like encased in this, these luminous filaments. And that filaments is your coding, your imprint. When I say you are imprinted, and those filaments is what's giving the soul the message, like a computer software program of what the soul is experiencing. And as your life moves on and unfolds, those filaments unravel, and you get closer and closer and closer to the essence of the soul. The soul becomes aware of that how fragile life is. I can also see when a person is beginning to start going home, because I see that the last filaments of their life is like inching out towards the ethereal, and you can almost see the luminous blue of the soul that's left, and that tells me that they're not long here for this physical plane. So having said all of that, my interpretation of this is that one of your gifts that you came in here for is that you have the ability to communicate, and this is why you connect with children, okay? And this is why you taught, were a teacher in the preschool, okay? Is that this blue egg that I'm picking up is that this empathic ability, these angelic connection, is that you have the ability to make direct contact with someone's soul, okay? It's not through, and this is your, when you talk about your guides and everything, it's like they're there to help you interpret, okay? But, and the clouds underneath it tells me that you have angelic DNA coding, okay? No question about that, all okay. right? And you have the ability to literally communicate directly to the soul and encourage them and remind them and talk to them on a level that you're like a let me get this right, a record keeper, okay? You came on, because we are, there are more light workers on Earth than there ever have been in the history of our humanity, because we are going through the apocalypse right now. I mean, this is what they predicted, when we would lose hope and the ego would rule, and there would be no compassion, and money, greed would become the apocalypse of the charging white horse. Okay, so what you have done here is that you've taken a life, chosen a life to communicate on a soul level. It's people resonate to you, and they don't even know why. And it's because it's almost like that you're a computer fix-it person. It's like you, when you come in contact with someone, you have the ability to go in there and adjust the program and remind the soul. It's like, okay, remember what you were here to do, and the soul goes, oh yes, that's right. That's what I was here to do. Yeah. This is not on a conscious level, but then on sometimes it is. Sometimes you are so aware that you have reached and touched someone's soul essence that there's a feeling that comes over you that you can't describe. And that is a soul-to-soul communication. Yeah. Have you understood everything I've said to you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. And that's what you're here. You're basically a computer fix-it man. I mean, pretty much. Yeah, go ahead. And you have a question before Bonnie? I can. Bonnie is smoking over there.
I can feel it. Yes. I mean, just tie it down in the chair.
I'm halfway out of it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like she's making movie effects over there. There's so much smoke. It's like, Greta, do you have a question for me
I'm really enjoying what you're picking up for me, because it's basically what I've felt all my life, that I know I'm here for a reason. I've had many, many lifetimes, although I don't know what they are. I feel a very deep connection, Pleiadian energy that I've been tapping into during my healing, along with the angelic. So everything that you've said is resonating very strongly with me.
Well, you've been a scribe many, many, many lifetimes. Teacher,
okay.
Scribe, educator, communicator, basically your life path for many, many generations is elevating the soul's awareness.
Okay, yeah.
Well, okay, so now it's my turn. Okay, well, first of all, I have to tell you, Greta, that I had somebody here.
Look out,
of course,
she's
I had
loose.
I'm so happy.
Is she levitating?
I am. I just can't tell you. I'm so happy that when I said okay and nobody said anything, that means I can go. So
I know. You have to watch her. She's really slick. Any opening that she gets, she takes it.
Go ahead,
soul sister.
Go ahead, Tommy.
All right, thank you. But, you know, I have to tell you that, see, all this smoke had to stay so that I could keep your cloud up, Greta, because when she was talking and I saw the crystal ball, or actually it was a crystal sphere, and she was talking about the cloud, it was elevating. It was actually elevating for me. So
mm-hmm.
I knew, and
yes.
I want to get into that. I knew that it said that the reason that I saw it that way, same thing as Susan, is that that you were the birth of anew. You were pure, true of heart, and divine. And you were actually from a different universe. So you were sent here to raise up. And what Susan says, I don't say it as clearly, but to raise up and to let people understand the kind of angelic goodness and wholeheartedness and love that you have for them. And so I saw your cloud going way up, 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 up. So I had to, like, blow smoke here. Otherwise, how would it get up? So that's why I had to do that. But I had somebody here with me, Greta, and she was a female. I'm going to say, because it doesn't fit with a generation, it usually shows me a two, which means two generations back. So I am going to assume, is your mom is in spirit or here?
No, it'll be my grandmother.
Okay, because I have next to a mother, grandmother. Because I couldn't tell. Usually it'll
She's
tell
always
one generation. Okay, and what she said is
she, you know, and I'm going to read you what she said to me. I auto-write, so it's not me saying this,
okay.
And I don't know that you'll resonate with it, but this is what she is saying to me. She said, Greta, you are unhappy in a non-metaphysical life. You needed to come out, and she laughed and said, out of the closet. And she keeps, she, as a kid, she knew she was different. She was quiet, and she never had a we never had a problem with her.
Yeah.
And she said her, and then she said her mother had the gift. So I'm assuming that was your yeah. So she said, but it was a gift she didn't know. So I'm assuming either So and then she's showing me and handing me a button. I don't know why, but it's this button.
I can take that 100%, Bonnie. She used to give us a tin of buttons to play with when we were children, all different sizes, all different kinds.
Yeah, that's what she keeps showing me. Buttons.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, spirit works in fabulous ways, girlfriend. Okay, so then she showed me you in a winter coat. And I don't know what about the coat, but I think she's showing me there's three buttons on each side. And she said this was a coat that maybe you wore to her house. She used to help you button your coat is what she showed me.
Yeah, my mum has a picture of me in that coat, actually, Bonnie. So I can take that 100% as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Three buttons on either side.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm so good. No, spirit is so good. Because remember, Susan, I'll never take credit for this. It's spirit. So
I know. You're so humble.
I am so humble. I just love the humble.
You're so humble.
she said that you were sad that you left many behind, but you couldn't do it anymore. I don't know what and she said, Greta, we love you, and everyone will realize that this was the path of your soul that you needed to fulfill.
Thank you. I need to say that, Bonnie.
Well, she also said, and you might not love this next line, Greta, but she said, guilt will eat you up, and that will not do you well in the future. Let it go.
Can you repeat that again?
She said, guilt, it says, guilt will eat you up, and that will not do you well in the future. Let it go, Greta.
Okay.
We love you very much. She said something about, did you used to bounce on somebody's knee? Because then she said something about your
dad.
She said your dad didn't show it a lot, but he was really, when I see him, he did, and he was bouncing you on his knee. And he said he did it when he could. And then this is the last thing that they said to me before, of course, Susan made me stop because then, you know, she gets into such interesting things. I couldn't listen to the rest of the peeps here. So she said, this is what they said. She must step into her power and be separate from. You will have too much light to stand in shadows. And you must step forward, Greta. You must. That was the end, and then Nate left. I asked them to step back. So I hope that as you know, every time they show me scenes, as Susan's talking, I see scenes. So it's like I want to listen to what Susan says. I want to hear what you say, and they're yapping in my ear, and I love it. But, you know, it's tough because with auto-writing, it's my hand is writing. So I hope that, you know, I brought you any type of peace. You know that I love you very much, Greta, and I so believe in you, and I know that they do too.
Thank you.
So I hope
fabulous. You've brought a lot of evidence to me, Bonnie, and something that does resonate on a soul level as well. So thank you for that.
You're welcome, Greta. Oh. We love you. You know, welcome back to the show anytime,
thank
sister.
Thank you.
So
please thank
tell
you, John, Greta. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Yes. Bye, Greta.
Okay. I just say goodbye to you, Greta. We love you. We hope you come back. You know you can always come on our show. We have a guest Thursdays, and we'd love to have you. I am going to go to the next call because I know they've been waiting.
Bonnie. Bonnie, wait. Yes. I'm going to give you a big gift here, okay? Since I don't have the equipment like guys do to pee in a cup, okay, I am going to have to take a pate break because of all the coffee that I drank. So I'm going to give you about 2 minutes just to talk about spirit communication. I'll be right back.
I love it, girlfriend. Anytime I can get the airwaves, I will. I love all of you.
Yeah.
I am so jazzed. Ah, I'm so happy I have a little time. Well, you know, when I give, I would like to say thank you to all the chatters in the chat room. I can't chew gum, walk, talk, write, and auto-write, and see spirit all at once and do it perfect. So please forgive me if I don't get in there and I don't write to all of you, but I do want to say a shout-out to everybody. We love you, Chris from Curious Times. She has a radio show on 10 to 12 every night. I've been on there myself, and I can tell you she's funny, she's charming, she treats her guests very well, and she's a really knowledgeable lady. And so please try to get in there and listen to her show, because I'm telling you, you will not regret it. Now, spirit. I love spirit. When they bring me, oh, my goodness, I love them so much. When they bring me messages and when they bring me symbols and when they bring me smells, I'm bringing it right to you. But I have to tell you that it's not me giving you that message, even though it's through me. It's spirit giving you that message. So please take it for what I can give, what I can show you, what I can bring to you. But it isn't me. It's only coming through me. So I'd love to take credit because you know I'm Aries in the first. Well, maybe not Aries in the first, but I do have Venus in my first house. I love to take credit for anything, of course, but I won't take credit for the messages that I get. Wait a minute. I just have to tell everybody. I do have to tell you, it is total spirit. It is not me. I'd love to take credit, but I can't. Both Susan and I know, and we give credit to where credit's due. The universe and spirit bring it through us, and we are giving their messages to you. So with that, Susan, thank goodness you came back, because I could have gotten on a
tangent. Let me tell you, there's nothing like it. It's like when you actually have to go potty and you're holding it and all of a sudden you get a break like that. It's so orgasmic. Is that too much information for radio?
No, because I love that word. Remember, sexual issues was things that I used and I still do resonate with in my practice. So, you know, I'm free baby for you. So anytime you want, you can come and get counseling for that issue. So I'm going to bring you. You're welcome. I'm going to bring you 347. You are next. 347, we know that you've waited a long time. Hi. Can I ask who we're speaking with?
Yes, speaking with Angela.
Hi, Angela. How are you today?
I'm fine today.
We are great. How can Susan and I help you? You've waited so long.
I just wanted to know because, I don't know, something you said earlier, which is pretty cool to what I'm doing. I'm moving from New York City to L.A., so I thought that was pretty funny that you guys were talking about that very, very early into the show. But I just wanted to know, how do you think I applied for these apartments over there, and, you know, they didn't really get back to me. I wanted to know, you know, I know God is working, I know the spirit is working, but will I have those apartments when I get over there? And just mainly, I just wanted to know about my move and it has something to do with my career, but, you know, I'm basically taking a big leap of faith. I'm 24, and I'm moving halfway across the country, and I'm just leaving it into God's hands. So that's basically all I'm asking, is if everything is going to fall in place when I get there, you know, pretty much that. I don't know. Yes.
Susan?
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Go ahead. I'm picking up a few things, but can I ask a question, Angela? Do you have anybody you're moving out there with?
No, I'm just going by myself.
Okay, and you have
a
job
a job waiting for you out there?
Nope, I'm just like, I literally feel in my heart that, you know, it's basically I'm doing something that they only see in movies. You know, I'm going out there for music. I'm leaving with my money in one bag. Anything that can't fit in that bag is staying in New York City. And you know what? I have faith. And if I fail, I can always come back. I don't have kids. You know, I kind of just want to go.
What do you want to accomplish out in Los Angeles? I mean, out in Los Angeles, what career are you looking at?
I'm going to do music. Music, yeah.
Okay. Do you write music?
I write, I sing, I rap. I'm very multifaceted, so I don't really like to like put myself in a box, really. But I think I'm pretty good. I get it from a lot of people.
I do hear something, Susan. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first? Sure. You want me to go first?
Well, here's what I'm hearing. I better let you. I can hear this snorting. So you go ahead. You go ahead and jump in, and then I'll dot the I's and cross the T's.
Thank you, honey. I always love those.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know what, Angela? How I feel is this. Once you get out there, whatever places you were looking to move into is not going to happen. But I do see that when you get out there, you will find a place. But it isn't the ones you're thinking of. Because what I see is when you get out there, I see that you're going to meet somebody, that you're going to be talking to people or going somewhere, and you're going to meet somebody else, or you're going to look on Craigslist or something like that, and you are going to find a place that way. I do see you finding a place. But I'm hearing no, that whatever you have that you think you have for apartments or out there is just not going to really be where you end up. That's what I hear. And I love that you're going into music because you do know that I'm Lady Gaga too. So I get it, and I love that you're into music. I believe that when you get out there, you'll meet several people. It's going to be a struggle, girlfriend, but you know that anyway. But I do think that you will find a job. I don't think you're going to find a job real quick in what you exactly want, but you know that because when you go to California, it's a tough road until you get some auditions. But I do see that doors will open for you. So go ahead, sister. You go for it, girl.
do you sing, right?
Do I sing? Yeah.
Yes.
I sing also, yes.
You do sing, right?
Yes, I do also.
Okay.
It's like one of the things that I do.
Okay.
I do too.
You write music, you play, you do all of it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because here's what I'm, and especially about the place to live, what I mean, I heard so strongly about the internet. Okay, how did you find a place to live that you're looking at? Did you find it from the internet?
Well, I did everything on the internet. Actually, it was funny. She said she's Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga follows me on Twitter. How cool is that?
Well, you know what, girlfriend? That's just kismet. But you know what? Internet would mean Craigslist, right? Because that's exactly what I see that she's going to have. She's going to find something and want a monster Craigslist.
Yeah, I'm hearing internet that you before you go, like when I was looking to move to San Francisco, I basically got and Googled apartments in San Francisco, and all kinds of like virtual, you know, things came up that showed me the place, you know, decent rent and all of that. And look more into that before you head out so that you know exactly. Because, like, what I'm feeling is that when you get out there, it's like, what you got in mind? Same thing as Bonnie. It's kind of like, I don't think so, you know. So make a kind of switch there. But I'm also I'm hearing backup, okay? Like that you're going to get like either backup singer, backup musician, you know, playing behind somebody, okay? And it's almost going to be like a fluke. You're going to want to get out there and find yourself like a booking agent, okay? And yeah. it's like little small backup kind of things. And as far as your music career exploding, I think what's going to happen is that I think you're heading out there to meet somebody, okay? And somebody that's really important where your music career is concerned, but personally too. And then it's going to take a whole different avenue for you.
Yeah.
Because as you get older, what I'm hearing is that you're getting more involved in producing instead of actually making the music yourself and putting it out there, which you will, okay, but somehow you get involved in the management, producing, kind of behind the scenes kind of thing. That's what I keep on hearing, standing behind the music, musicians.
Well, you know.
And so I think that's where your break is going to come from.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's exactly what I mean by you're not going to be, you know, what you think you're going to do, you're not going to do right off the bat. So I think I do see you, Angela, there. I see you excited. I see you happy. I don't see, like, you're not going to be, you know, again, I don't think what you're looking at right now is where you're going to be or do. I do think Craigslist and one of those, which is internet, will be the best bet for you to meet. And you're going to meet somebody that's going to be in the same kind of young, as you, looking for something, and it's going to be good for you. I mean, you will be able to then pick up little jobs. And again, I believe a spirit is what's moving you to go out there. You need to go.
You're definitely being told to do that. Definitely. Go there and then let spirit show you why.
Okay, cool.
Yes, girl. Well, listen, I hope we helped you. We've got a whole board. And good luck. And listen, when you make it out there, and if you become Lady Gaga, you need to call me because, see, then I'm Lady Gaga, and then you're going to have to fight me for it. But not, like, physically because I don't do that. But, okay, so I hope you have a fabulous
time. Keep us posted.
Thank you.
Keep us posted, girlfriend.
You're
welcome. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, my goodness. I love it. Can you believe it? And I always say Lady Gaga. Is that amazing? I'm taking the next caller, Susan. We have a full board, and we still have, you know, some time. So I am going to take 904. 904, you are up, girl. Or guy. I don't know until you tell me. Who am I speaking with?
This is Priscilla.
Hi, Priscilla. Ah, I was right first. So, Priscilla, how can Susan and I help you today?
I've written a book, and it's been published by Business Expert Press, and it's called Fostering Spirituality in the Workplace, A Leader's Guide to Sustainability. And I'd like to get more traction with it, and I make a lot of contacts, but they're just not, don't seem to be exactly on point. It's geared for academic adoption, but what I really want to do with it is I want to go into corporations and do ethics training. I put spirituality in the title because the publisher really urged me to do that. It really doesn't focus on theology or dogma of any kind, but it is a clarion call to corporate leaders to assume the power that they have to right the ship and to find the moral core and to make all the decisions that are made with power and money that they have with a three-part lens so that ethics and sustainability and profit are the lens through which they see and make every decision.
Susan, I am getting something, but since you're the book writer, I'm going to let you have it because I don't know if Priscilla, I got to see what you say because there's some things I got to talk to her about afterwards, but let's see.
Okay. I want to ask you something. Do you have the credentials to teach?
Oh, yes. I teach at the university.
Okay. Are you teaching, is this book directly related to the to courses that you're teaching?
Not right now. I have taught courses in ethics and corporate social responsibility, but right now I'm teaching courses in professional writing at the graduate level.
Okay. Here's what I'm...
I have the same thing you have, Susan. I have the same thing you have. So
okay. Here's what I'm picking up, okay? You need to pitch this book, okay? To pitch this philosophy, what you want to do in corporations, okay, to wherever it is that you're teaching, and see if you can't come up with a format or a class or something based on exactly the same thing that you want to do in corporations, how you want to teach corporations to do, okay, and to pitch this same thing to your college or your university, right?
Okay.
So that you are actually teaching a course in this. And then what I'm hearing is that it feels like that there's a bite there that, you know, okay, well, let's see what you got, you know, kind of thing. And
right.
And what I'm hearing is that this will open doors for you of where it is that you want to go. The idea is that you have to, you have to find somebody that, it's not an agent. It's like a marketing rep. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, that deals with, books, seminars, workshops, and for the corporate world. And I'm not really sure what they call them, all right? But what I'm hearing is that it's just really important that you create this schedule, this curriculum where you are right now, because you're either going to meet the person that is going to be able to help you to get your foot in the door, in the corporation that you want to promote this to, or else because you are teaching a course on it, okay, that's what opens the doors.
Uh-huh. Okay. So
I
have an idea.
Yeah, it's not a straight shot is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I know what you're trying to do, but the thing is that you don't know the right people yet to do that.
Right.
And the other thing that I would suggest is, as I always do, when I'm in a situation where I'm out of my league and out of familiar waters, is that I ask the divine universe, bring to me the people that will
mm-hmm.
open the doors and
right.
open the situations for it to happen. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, whenever we think, like, I have to figure this out or I have to do – you always want to call in your soul family to bring you assistance.
Right. Got it.
Well, Priscilla, can I tell you what I picked up?
Yes, thank you.
And I'm not bringing any dead people in here. This is just what I'm hearing.
Well, that's all right. That's all right.
Well, because, you know, actually I'm bringing dead people in, but they're talking and telling me what's going on here. I mean, that I think.
Okay.
Well, that I don't think
uh-huh.
the spirits bring it to me. But they say something. This is really strange. They say, and what's funny is when Susan said format, they said something is missing from the book. It needs to be
okay.
tweaked, and it has to be, it's in the format. Okay, so what I think,
okay.
and this is just what I'm picking up from Spirit, is that and it's kind of the same thing as what Susan is saying, maybe the format of the book has to be for your classroom teaching. Once you
mm-hmm.
do that, maybe, and the kids pick it up, actually you're getting to the kids who are going out there for business, and you are actually getting anybody to read the book after that. But what I'm hearing is something has to be tweaked in that format. And also, you know, I'm hearing the word spirituality, but I'm not, like, thinking it needs it. Can you give me the name of that book again? Because, see, for some reason they're saying that word should not have been in the text.
The title.
And
the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And
yeah,
you knew
yeah,
it. And they,
yeah.
And what they said is if you tweak that book and you change the format, because the basics are there, they said that that word shouldn't have been in there. It has nothing to do with spirituality. And I don't know why they're saying it, because I didn't read the book, and I really don't know why you would put the word spirituality in there. But what they're saying is that the book in itself should be used at the level that you teach what you're teaching, and it will then sell itself. So there is some things that have to be tweaked in it, and I'm just not sure what your format is, but I think you know. And they said that you do know. You've been struggling with this, and you need to just do it. So I hope we've been any help to you. But you know, it's
very helpful. Do you have time, or is it possible for you to open my Acacia records?
Sure. Susan?
Yeah, sure.
I shouldn't say, Susan, what do you think?
Of course. Okay. Priscilla, let me ask you, first of all, how old you are?
66.
6'6"?
Say that with, you got to say that with some gusto, girlfriend. You have lived and you have seen and you have done. That's a good thing. I mean, I'm 15, so I still need to learn it. But come on, you've got great, great skills. Go ahead.
Yeah, double digit. That's a very profound year. You're what? First thing that I'm hearing is late bloomer. Okay. things didn't really start. What was that?
I said we've had a couple of those this morning, haven't we?
Oh yeah, it's like it's the age of Aquarius baby boomers. You know, I mean it's like you know we. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, we all awakened at the same time and decide we're going to change the world like we thought when we were in 20s, in our 20s.
Right.
Hey, whatever.
Right.
So,
well, Priscilla, I'm going to say this, and I know you don't want me to interrupt anymore, but Priscilla, I haven't reached there yet. I am in my second soul window, which is 15 to 18. So you will tell me when I ask how it feels to be in your double digits there, because I don't plan to be there, so I haven't reached the baby boomer stage yet. But go ahead, Susan.
Oh, you know, I swear, Bonnie, it's just going to sneak up on you, and all of a sudden you're going to say, oh my God, I'm mature. What happened?
Never, never. Go ahead.
Okay, so this soul window that you're in, of course, is cry and return, which is the biggest, you know, redo, reset soul window. You're pretty much at the end of it, okay? This has been a long, big soul window for you. This started for you about, like, 48. I mean, you've been in this reevaluating, looking, cleaning house, having identity crisis, you know, who am I, what am I about? I mean, this has been going on for you for a while, okay? And you finally, probably within the last year or two, have come to some kind of peace I'm going to give it my best try. I think I've got a good idea here, and let's see how this unfolds. This when you were like in your 50s and early 60s, like middle 50s, there was a drivenness that you felt like that you were like trying to beat the clock. And that doesn't seem to be there anymore. And it's not like that you didn't accomplish what you were supposed to do or didn't create what it is that you had in mind. It's just that sense of urgency was needed for you to get done what you needed to do. And then now what it is that you've accomplished will be on a much more easygoing scale. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And your career is a teacher?
Yes. And I do consulting work as well.
Pardon me?
And I do consulting as well with clients.
How long have you been a teacher?
Well, all my life.
All your life. Okay. And what creative stuff do you do besides writing the books?
I don't consider myself particularly creative, except in my relations with people. I give a lot of, a career counselor, so I give a lot of advice, and I'm a very good creative problem solver for other people, particularly.
Okay.
Very good on my feet, articulate, able to motivate people.
Okay. Okay, good. And you gave me some of your gifts. Well, that's good. What is it that you like about yourself?
Well, I like the fact that I can usually discern where people are coming from and what they need and have the gift to say things that resonate with them and that help them see maybe a different paradigm, change their life, make a difference. I really enjoy teaching executives and leaders and talking about, you know, the kinds of things I talk about in my book, which is that we have, you know, the place where we've lost our moral core, and we have to return to that in order to survive as a civilization. And so I like, you know, that opportunity to motivate people that are in positions of power to make the profound changes that I think we have to make in our society and our civilization.
Okay. Okay. When your book opened, it was interesting because I saw actually a baton, like a orchestra leader baton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, conductor. Yeah, conductor's baton. And then underneath it, I saw gold coins. All right.
Ooh.
What I'm interpreting here is that pretty much what you said is that, you know, your life journey is basically of showing other people the way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The gold coins, okay, it feels like that you have a lot of imprint of past lives of money being your God, okay? Of greed, okay,
and this
lifetime, what what you're trying to do is that you're trying to bring a more compassionate and more spiritual approach to those in power with money, and that's pretty much your whole kind of focus of what your life has been balancing that that total understanding of what money is, how it works, and what it does. That's why you're fascinated with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But also to lead them in another direction in terms of having more compassion, using it more wisely, so that it's an overall benefit to everyone versus just a small small group, and that's pretty much the agenda that you took on, and you've been doing that. I would say that what you wrote for yourself, you've gotten a pretty good handle of it. There has been times when there has been I think some money issues of where you just felt that life should be easier where money is concerned, and kind of maybe have been tempted to maybe take risks with money, it feels like that you kind of decided not to. But there's sometimes regret that, you know, like shoulda, woulda, coulda, kind of thing, where money is concerned, and that's just leftover imprint of past lives where a lot of greed came into it. I mean, there was never enough money, never enough of accumulation.
Right.
So you're trying to kind of temper those imprints. And as far as where your book is concerned, when I say late bloomer, if you do the path of altering this by teaching a course on it, it will, like Bonnie said, it will give you the insight or the tweaks that you need on how to promote it to the corporate world. They're showing me a book, and it was called Jesus CEO. Okay.
Okay.
And it's an interesting. It's a spiritual book, but or maybe it was Jesus. Yeah, it was Jesus CEO. And what it was is that it was a book written on Jesus as a corporate executive to all his disciples and the people that he led on how it is that he got them to do what he needed them to do, literally without any pay, without any money, without anything like that. And his philosophy is on that approach. And they said that he was the greatest CEO of all time because, I mean, he changed the world literally with no money.
Yeah, like real leadership.
Right, real leadership. And what I'm hearing about this book is that it will have a trickle-down effect of that you may not see in your lifetime, that this is, I mean, now, you know, any young CEO that's coming on up, it's like if you want to make a difference in the world, this is the book that you need to read because it will bring not only financial success, but balance and harmony to whatever it is that you're trying to do. And so what you're looking at is that, you, like I said, you may not, and I know this sounds kind of odd, you may not live to see the success of this book, but this book will have impact on, for, you know, in the next generation or the generation after of, like, you know, see this little pocketbook? It's like if you want to get a real handle on what being a good CEO is, it's like you need to read this.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I see.
Because if you're teaching, and see, that's the whole idea. Because you know what, my tongue is getting dry, so I have to say something. But you know, that's the whole idea of that. If you're teaching your text in class, then those executives or the people that are you're teaching by take your principles into the world, and that's where. You're going to be passing that on, and that book will be used for generations, not maybe generations.
And
with everything
remember,
going
they'll
after.
Remember that book. They will. They'll remember that. Yeah.
And so I have to tell you, I have somebody here for you, Priscilla, if you would like to hear the message. It looks like it's two removed. So I don't know if it's your great-grandmother or your grandmother, maybe 1-2 is your great-grandmother, or it's your grandmother. But they said that you, and this is just, again, this is spirit, not me, they said that you had always been structured, and you had, there was always a place for things. You learned, and then they said you learned from me that there was, that you were, they were hard on you about that. Fun was little time. It was you were predestined to take charge, even of us, which makes me think that you even took charge of either if you had siblings like brothers and sisters that you even told your parents or whatever or your friends what to do because they said that you were a take charge kind of girl, and she was always older in her years than she wanted to be. And you were always older in your years. Remember, this is auto writing, so sometimes I can't read it. And it says that she always wanted to be like her father. That's what she felt. And She said, and then they showed me, and this is strange because they always show me like a little playful thing, you know, because if they're going to give me a message and that's, you know, oh, they're like me and da-da-da, they always show me like with the buttons with Greta, they showed me a jump rope. And then
okay.
they said she loved to be perfect. So that
yeah.
tells me that whatever that whatever you went into or whatever you did, even as a little kid, you had to do it perfectly. Can
yeah,
I don't know if you jumped in the rope or did
I
anything
like to do that
with
as,
the rope.
Yeah, I like to do that as a little girl probably. And, yeah, perfection is both a blessing and a curse for me, yes.
Yes, that's what they said. That's what they said. Well, I hope that we have helped you in some way today, and I am hoping that you take those messages and, you know, so that you know that Spirit sees you, you know that you have a direction, what a great, you know, Akashic Record book opening you had, and I think you can, you know, understand then so much of what's going on, you know?
Absolutely. So very enlightening and very informative and obviously right in alignment with what I know about myself.
Well, I thank you. You know what? Because that's all we do it for, really. I mean, think about it. We just do it to help, to promote people, to be on the right path, for Spirit to get you a message that you aren't alone, that there are people that are watching you with you. You can probably reach your little finger out and touch them, but you just can't see them. So just
yeah.
know there's everybody around. Yeah, there's everybody around you, honey, and they want you to succeed just as well. The characters you came in with, and that's what they were kind of saying, were from childhood. So yeah, use them well. You know, sometimes you can quirk them out a little and have a little fun.
Yeah.
But they're telling
yeah.
you that it was, you know, it's in your personality. So and believe me, we need people like you because people like me, oh, my goodness, I'd be floating around all day. So we need people that can actually take charge, actually teach, actually have a direction. And I'm in awe of you because I can't. Right,
oh,
Susan?
But you have
such great gifts.
And your flexibility allows you to share and meet. I'm probably too rigid, but so I really appreciate your gifts and your reaching out and your openness to allowing Spirit to use you.
Thank you, because that's really, I mean, again, I'm going to say this, and Susan knows at Blog Talk, we do this for all of you. We want you to enjoy it. We also want you to get a message that's really for Spirit, because, again, I mean, you know, that's what we do it for. And if we can help you in any way, and you know what? There's no such thing as too rigid, because you always have the availability to turn around and kick your heels up and go for coffee, which I would find
yeah.
is fun. So
yeah.
you go for it, girlfriend, and have a wonderful
so
evening
much.
And day. Thank you.
Thank,
thank
you
for
thank
spending.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Priscilla.
Thank you, Priscilla. You're so sweet, and we love you, and good luck, and let us know. Sign a book for us and send it, because we certainly could use it. Well, Susan,
yes.
it is 2:22 on my clock. 2:22 is a power number to the max. Yes! So I am so excited. I am going to take a call. I'm going to take, it's a 661 number. So 661, you are on with Susan and Bonnie. Hi.
Oh, 661,
hello.
You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are. Can I ask who we're speaking with?
Hi, my name is Tricia, and I heard you the other day giving a friend of mine a reading, and I thought, oh, you sounded fantastic. I love the Akashic Record, and I thought I would love to ring in and get a reading.
Oh, that's so sweet. Can you say your name again? Because I can't, we're both not able to hear you that well, so can you give me your name again?
It's Tricia.
Tricia. Hi, Tricia.
Ah. Hi, Tricia.
Hi. We're so glad we get to welcome you because now we have a name. So both of us, we heard it. I heard half the name, and I didn't want to say anything until I heard your whole name. But, Tricia, we're so happy. We're happy if you heard somebody and you wanted to get a reading, too. That makes us feel good. So, Susan, I knew with no more ado, I'm going to hand you over to Tricia. Well, I auto-write, girlfriend. So go.
Oh, yes. It's like while you be quiet and write, right.
And talk quietly. Yes.
Quiet and write. Okay, it's Tricia, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tricia, I want to ask you how old you are so I know what soul window you're in.
I'm so close to turning 60 next month. I'm the year of the horse. Yeah, and the year of the horse and 60 years old in March.
Oh,
wow.
Wow. Okay, so you're 59 right now and getting ready to turn 60. Okay,
yes.
That's a decade year. That's good. Well, you're in Cryon Return, which if
yes.
you've been listening to the show, you understand that that's a redo, reset, think things over, a lot of life coaching from the divine, you know, clearing out, upsetting. And with you, you've been probably in it about maybe 11 years now. You've got maybe another two or three more years to be in it. For you, what I'm hearing is this was a pretty, they're using the word traumatic, okay? But I don't know if I want to say that. It's like a full-on identity crisis. Lots of things fell away in your life. And then actually part of it, there was a relief from it, and then part of it made you feel very ungrounded. But through the process, it took like maybe 5, 6, 7 years. Is like after you came out the other end, you realized what spirit was trying to do for you. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, a lot of stop signs that I had to work through. Once I realized my stop signs, I sort of realized how I could unblock myself. So yes, I agree.
Yeah, it was necessary because it feels like that you had a lot of entanglements that weren't your own. I mean, I felt there was a lot of baggage, but not yours. And when you finally realized that where you needed to be and where you needed to feel light and joyful, that you really had to let go of carrying other people's baggage. And so you started dropping the bags. And now you're at a point where if you're carrying any baggage, it's yours. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, I do.
Okay.
I had to drop a lot of baggage. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and it's, you know.
I think
but
cases.
Here's, pardon, darling?
I said, I see two suitcases in her hands.
You see two what?
Suitcases. I see two suitcases in her hands. She's got at least enough baggage to fill those two suitcases, and they're her own.
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing about this baggage that you carry, okay, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with, you know, martyrdom or insecurity or low self-esteem or unworthiness or, codependence, not anything like that. This is a karmic debt, okay, contracts, all right, and some of them pretty heavy-duty contracts. That you decided that when you came into this life that you were going to be there for them, you were going to carry the load a little bit, you were going to put up with experience with, okay? But then there came a point when you went into this last soul window that those contracts started falling away. It was agreement. It was like, look, I'm going to be here for you for this amount of time, but when I hit this this soul window, you see this little clause at the end of this contract? It says, if you haven't figured it out by this amount of time, I'm out of here. Okay? So it's and you did it, when this was agreed to, it's not because you did them wrong or it was a payback or anything like that. It was just an agreement. These are part of your soul family that you care deeply about, and you wanted to see them get it. And either they did or they didn't. So that's kind of where you are right now. Can I ask you what you do for a career?
I'm an author. I'm a writer as well.
Okay. What kind of books do you write?
I actually am more of a fictional writer, sort of factual fictional, where I entwine a lot of kind of concepts and spirituality and theories and things like that within stories. Like for the more of the young reader as well. I do both. But my screenplays. I've been a screenwriter. I've had experience as a songwriter back in the 80s. I was doing a lot of songwriting, and that was an exciting chapter. I've been through quite a few chapters.
You said poem?
Well, as a lyricist, I would write to melody. You know, people would give me a melody, and I'd put lyrics to it, or I would write lyrics,
okay.
And then I would,
okay.
And then I would sing them the melody that I wrote. So, yeah, I love that part of my life as well.
Mhm. Okay. And you've pretty much been doing this your whole life?
I decided to change careers in the 90s. I had a sister that died in a car accident pretty much almost in front of me, spiritually and mentally. And I sold a business that I had, that I just decided that was it. I was going to do what I was destined to do, which was sort of kind of master my own writing and my own style, because there were a lot of handicaps that I came into the world with in that area that I had to master.
Okay. When you say you sold your business, what kind of business was it?
Oh, I had a fashion designing business on Melrose Avenue. I was one of the first people that started this whole design phase down there in the 70s. Yeah.
I'm laughing because I was a fashion buyer for about 17 years and then went back to school to become a therapist and a counselor because I basically thought buying clothes was therapy. And it was my first version of counseling and therapy. And then finally, you know, I kind of graduated of like, well, you know, maybe not so.
Yeah.
So that
I used to do a lot of therapy and spiritual work with customers that used to come in without really knowing that my store was more of a lighthouse. I used to attract a lot of young people and with their, emotional problems and need. I actually sort of felt after a while I sort of, got out of it because people were just so exterior and I had become so much more about the interior being than the exterior being. And so,
you notched it up is basically what you did. What do you consider your gifts to be?
Oh, I would say definitely writing, communicating.
Okay.
Screenwriting. I'm also I do have a screen. A film that was made of a screenplay I wrote, so that's kind of interesting. It's a plus on the resume.
And the things that you like about yourself?
I like about myself? I guess I like myself. And, I'm quite content with myself. And there's a few, one chapter that's missing. in sharing it with somebody right now, but I just moved into a really neat house that I manifested and that I own, and doing that up and having fun in between writing and creating there, knocking out walls, doing whatever I feel like. Kind of like, it's kind of a good place to be.
Okay. Let me ask you that this again. Okay. What are the things that you like about yourself? You described what you do. Yes. You described
what
you
like
do. Yes, the things that you like about yourself. Yes.
I like my honesty. I like my authentic energy. I like that I can create in the moment. I like that I can pull in ideas. You know, I like that I like to think that I'm here for people if they need me. So, I generally like myself. I mean, I don't really sort of look at too much and say that part of me. I mean, maybe patience.
Okay.
I
like you too. I mean, I have everything you're saying. I like you too. So go ahead.
Yeah. What's not to like? Well, you know, it's I have an interesting visual here, and so I'm going to have to explain it and. I'm not sure if I'm going to interpret this bottom right, you know, but I'm going to say it anyway. Okay. The first thing that came out, of course, and then I'll tell you what supports it. Okay, is that of course of communication and letters and but the biggest thing is. Compassion for humanity. Okay, there's like they have it's like it's really interesting. They're showing me this like fuzzy little bunny and a bird talking to the bunny, and they're communicating. Okay, so now normally someone would look at that and they go, I don't think so. You know, because birds don't understand bunnies, okay? But there's both a softness and yet there's an intensity about it. And what I believe that they're trying to say to me is that your journey here is basically about getting people to understand one another, okay? Of the concept of that we're different, of the concept of that, you know, we don't understand one another, that we're tribally different, were you know, that because you like one kind of music and they like another, you're like a bridge, and I believe that you represent the bird, okay, that's always in flight, always moving, always communicating, and always trying to do it in a gentle way, but getting people who don't understand what others, you know, getting them to understand each other. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. There's a lot of what you're saying makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. And that's kind of the path.
And I love
birds.
I absolutely love birds.
I often watch
them and I hear them, and this house that I just bought is surrounded by really high trees, and it's down in the valley, so the trees are quite high around me. And yesterday it was amazing. I mean, it was just
crows
flying everywhere.
That's probably why they use the bird, you know, because they're such a softness. But then underlying that, I'm looking on it is that what they call tarnished coins, okay? Supposedly, they're supposed to be gold, but they're not. They're like gold-plated, and tarnished underneath that are that this bird and this bunny is just sitting on. And when I ask Spirit, what does that mean, is that you are trying to offset an imprint of a past life, of several past lives, of political lives, okay? That's the first thing that they said, that you use your power to fool, like in government, to fool humanity, to never speaking the truth, you're talking out of the side of your mouth. And one of the things that they're showing me, okay, and this is really strange, it's like when the railroad was built, okay, you brought over many, many Chinese immigrants, telling them that they were going to have a better life, that America was going to be the land of plenty for them, and basically you used them as slave labor to build the build the railroad, and you were in this kind of political line of taking advantage of the weak in terms of by miscommunicating what it was that you were offering. And so this particular life is that you're trying to offset that imprint of everything that you speak is about trying to connect one another with compassion, okay, and getting people to understand if there's tribal hatred or if there's, the rich with the poor, of that speaking the truth, that we're all speaking the same language. And they're showing me many, many lifetimes of this deception of communication. We're promising one thing and delivering another. And you finally, in your soul at this point, because something happened, do you have an affinity towards either Eastern philosophy or Asian or something like that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. My feeling about it is that you got to be born on the other side of that, okay? It's like, at one point in this process, you were the perpetrator, and then you had a life where you were the receiver of this tribal energy, where you were literally born into slavery. I mean, not the slavery as that we look at it, but being paid pennies to arduous backbreaking. And this particular life is that you're trying to bring balance to that through writing, communicating, and the one of the things that you bring about, your say about yourself that you like about it, is that your honesty, okay, that is an extremely important thing for you. If someone lies to you, that's it. I mean, you're done. I mean, there's a thing, and you don't like subterfuge in truth, and that's part of the imprint that you're trying to clear out in this life. It's an interesting past life flashes that I'm seeing. This beautiful scene of a bird communicating with this beautiful little bunny sitting on tarmac.
Well, it's a good thing. Well, it's a good thing she's not the bunny, because they procreate like you know what. But I just have to tell you, it's a good thing it's the bird and not the bunny. You know what I mean?
The bird. Yeah. So, do you have any questions or anything about anything that I've just said to you, or and comments or anything?
Oh no, I can relate to a lot of what you're saying, because I mean, when I look at the planet, even in the last thousands of years, there's been that duality that I think we've all walked that path of being on both sides of the taker and the receiver.
Oh,
absolutely.
One of the things that, even though I've always been quite powerful at manifesting, one of the things that I didn't really always like is enjoying people. I didn't like being the controller of another. And a lot of what the writing is for me is that I don't have to be so connected to that daily of having that boss energy. And, you know, I have a lot of people around me in my family that are very successful people that kind of mirror a lot of what those past lifetimes were, you know, that you're talking about and manipulation and things like that. So they do it with a way of, well, if you're not smart enough to do better, then I'll take advantage. And I've been there, done that. So that doesn't really relate to me anymore, to have to be that powerful, even though it's, you know, it's possible. It's, you know, walking those two lines. And it's really interesting, too, because the railroad in Los Angeles, most people don't know that the railway lines were already there running to the beach. And most of the surfaces and things like that where they have those, you know, would be at the end of the railway line. And that's how the railway lines were built, for the Sunday to get on the train and end up at the beach at, you know, one of those parks. But the railway lines were brought out by Firestone, the tire company. And so the first thing they do was take away all the railway lines. And it created all of the smog and the problems in Los Angeles because we had an amazing system that was already set up. It ran right through Beverly Hills, right to Santa Monica. And now we have to go through restructuring it all. And that always hit. When I heard that on the news, like, or, no, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, I mean, years and years ago I heard that story. It hit home. Like, so it was really interesting when you just mentioned about the railway line.
It's interesting that you're well aware of that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Very okay, because I got a group here. I mean, probably Trisha, you already have a group here.
Let's just hope that it's not all those Chinese people that built the railroad, because then she's going to be in trouble.
Oh, yeah, no, it wouldn't be her.
I have an affinity with the Chinese people. I know I've had a lifetime as a Chinese woman.
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, on both sides, you know. I mean, it's like, and that's why it came up so strongly.
And
I love that.
The other thing is, too, is that last year I started to dwell on, this time last year, thinking about the timing, actually now, because I always think of when I write that I give birth to the character because I actually live with a character, so I'm able to write and channel that character. But it had a lot to do with the Buddha energy and things like that. Well, when I had a vision of the house that I just bought, I asked Spirit to, if you want me to move, show me the house, and they showed me the house, and I found it online, and I bought it. But when I went to buy it, it had gone into escrow with somebody else, and I said to the realtor, don't worry, it's my house, it's been tagged, but show me the house, I need to go to that house when I visited this area. And I walked onto the balcony, and guess what's sitting there? A chipped statue of Buddha. And I'm really ready to write this new book that I did the treatment for. I did about 30-page outline of the story about a woman in China. This flashback story.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
we want the book.
Waiting for me to write.
Well, we want the book, and you know, you're going to have to name the book after me because that's what's going to have to happen, or I'm going to claim the book as my own anyway. So,
Bonnie, you're just going to have so many books out there. Oh, my God.
I know. I just think I didn't write any of them myself. But, Tricia, I just have to tell you, because we don't have a whole lot of time, and I want to get a little bit of this in with you. But really, probably I don't even have to. Do you see spirit, obviously, and you talk to spirit. But maybe the messages you're getting and the messages I'm getting are a little different, because I think we all can't. We have trouble reading ourselves, although I don't. But I am going to tell you what I see here.
Bonnie's an exception to the rule of everything.
Yes, I am, because I can read myself, and then I talk to myself afterwards about what I saw. So here we go. I have about five spirits here with me. What's interesting is one of them is a young spirit, and I am assuming that is your sister. I also have a young man here.
A man?
Yeah, I also have a young man here. So I don't know if you know who he is, but he's showing himself as a young man. So I don't know
How old is young?
He's handing you a ripe white rose. So he's not little boy, but he's probably in his teens, 20s. So I'm really bad with age, so it could be 30, because when I say young, I mean, you know, he's showing himself as young. I'm kind of assuming, I know I'm bringing up some pretty bad, you know, feelings, but I have this feeling he's attached to your sister.
He's attached to my sister.
Yeah, maybe a friend, or maybe that a cousin, or a friend, a guy friend. But he's handing you the white rose. So it is not a pink rose, and it's not a red rose. So it's not a love or a, it's more of a friendship, you know, type of a person. So I don't know if you know anybody like him, but you could think about it. But it looks like he's in his maybe late 20s, maybe in his 20s. I'm bad with age. But let me tell you what I have here. I have five spirits here with me. And they're showing me a wooden spoon. And they said that that they used to chase you. Something about the wooden spoon, they used to chase you around as a little child. And they loved your spirit. They're telling me they love your spirit. You were, and they said the one guy that's here, and he's an older gentleman, I'm assuming a grandfather or a great-grandfather, he said that you were always sweet on the men, but couldn't pick them for anything. I don't know what that means, but that's what they're saying.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. I've got five spirits, because I can't hear you that well either, but I have an older gentleman here. I'm assuming he's a grandfather or a great-grandfather. He's older. And he looks like he's two removed. So it's not your father, maybe your grandfather. And he's saying that you were always sweet on the men. I mean, it could be your father, but if your father died at an old age. But it says you're always sweet on the men, but couldn't pick them for anything. And he's laughing. And he says you try to help, but you make a mess out of it. She's really harder on herself than anyone else. And she needs a little relief. And they say, and then they're showing me teeth. I'm not sure. I want to say vampire teeth or teeth in a glass. So I don't know if any of your relatives, I don't know if you write about vampires, or they're handing me teeth. And then, you know, teeth, I mean, you know. But I don't know what the teeth are, but they're showing me teeth. So do
That's
you write books about
No, my father has false teeth.
Yeah, okay, that's what I knew it was. They're handing me teeth. So, you know, I want to say vampires because I love vampires, but they're handing me a set of teeth. So I knew it was either that the person had their teeth in a glass or in his hand. He's got some kind of teeth going on here. And they said that and this is what your sister said. We didn't get to say goodbye. She looked at me, and then I was gone. but I'm never far. And she picked my clothes out for me. I don't quite know what that means. And we loved each other. She was opposite than me, but we were connected. And then she's handing me an orange, and she's biting into the skin. So I don't know if your sister ate oranges or she loved oranges or some, or you did, one or the other, but that's what she's showing me. She's biting into an orange, you know, like a fruit. And and then I have
She died in a car accident, and the day that she was driving away, the last time I saw her, I cried for 5 hours. I knew that when I looked at her and said goodbye, my soul knew I would never see her again. And it was sort of, she died in a car accident the next day. Within 24 hours, she had died.
She said, you looked at me, and then I was gone. So she knew that you knew. I mean, you know, in spirit they know. And
I heard her too, calling my name after she passed away when I was carrying her daughter to a store. I had gone by a little girl in clothes. She had no clothes. They were all kind of blood splattered and things from the accident. And I kept hearing her call my name twice. So it was just a little spirit. Yeah. Hi, Becky.
Yeah, well. And then they are showing me, this is really strange, and I know it's a symbol, but, and I'm going to give that to you because it's like you're standing at a beach and you put it's like a note in a bottle and you put it in the ocean and you're watching it, you know, go far. So I don't know if you actually did that
I did do that. A few times when I was a child.
Yeah, so they're showing me that you're a beautiful little child, and I see you standing there and just watching the bottle go. So I hope you know, and I don't have to tell you because you are so connected, that for me to sit here and even talk to you about this, I'm in awe of your gift. But I hope that it's helped you knowing that and I know you know this, but again, a lot of times us light workers, we really can't read ourselves all the time, and sometimes our ego or our grief gets in the way. But all of the things that they're showing me are wonderful. They were done in you know, the one thing about the men, I don't know about that with you, but they all love you. They all were in your life for a reason. And just know that you know that they're with you. So and they appreciate, especially your sister. And everybody knows what a great love you were for them. So I hope that we have given you a reading that you will remember.
Yes, that sounds fantastic. So in my Akashic records, I'm doing the right thing with this writing and pursuing this this line of work.
You're right on track.
Yeah.
You're right on track.
Yeah.
You are connecting people to get people to understand one another on a compassionate soul level. Truth and honesty. You are writing the truth so that others see truth differently.
We have 90 seconds left, and I just want to say
thank you for calling.
Wish you the best, and please let us know how you do. Let us know. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Sus, I am just so blown away by all of our callers and the emotions.
They were wonderful. Oh, my God, so many amazing gifts.
I know.
Yeah.
And, honey, I'm having a party here. If you want to join me, I got every dead person you could think of, and I'm alive. So, you know, hey, we're having fun. And you know what the best thing is? I don't have to feed them. You know how cheap a party is with them?
talk about a cheap hostess.
Yes, no, I am really extravagant. It's just that I don't have to. But we have 33 seconds, and 33, Susan, another number.
Okay.
By the way, everyone, listen to tomorrow's show. We have Ron Cole. He's a famous astrologer, and Kelly Coulter. She is the Atlantean life card reader. Ron is going to take calls tomorrow on astrology. He can't tell you about your birth chart because he won't know it, but any astrology questions, and Kelly will be reading. And then we have a famous numerologist, Neil Baker, and Kristen coming on Thursday. So have a wonderful evening. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Yes, we love you. Bye-bye.
We're done, Susan. They're not letting